All right, so this is The House Files, a podcast about building a triplex in Portland, Oregon, and probably is meant to talk you out of doing such a thing.
Yeah, if you haven't already been talked out of it by now, just wait till you get to the end.
Once Aaron really spells out all of the permitting hassles, I think that alone is enough to make most people fold.
Yeah.
So what has happened since last time? There's like a whole nother floor.
A whole nother floor has gone up. Pretty exciting. Actually, it's half a floor because they're only doing like half of the thing right now. They're basically building the shell first, and they're not filling in the insides just yet.
So have more mistakes been found yet?
There isn't enough there to have mistakes yet.
I see. Okay.
Oh, no, wait. There is one. A big mistake they made in the shell framing so far is, you know how we have the half height counter in the kitchen that looks down into the entryway? They framed it as a full height wall. So we do not have a way to look over into the entryway right now, which is a little bit silly. So apparently that's going to get fixed later.
So we also still have not picked a shower faucet. I was whining about the shower faucet so much that my skating friends saw me and they were like, did you pick a shower faucet yet?
Oh.
And I was like, nope.
Nope. We tried.
We did try. They didn't really have a lot of options. The other thing that I'm kind of running into is that the ones that look cool all have two separate levers for hot and cold. And we have firmly established why we don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to find a bathtub that isn't clawfoot, but is the right height and shape. And
the bowl spoon, what was it?
It is a single slipper. The kind of 60-inch single slipper is what I'm looking for. We essentially didn't pick out any of the things we were supposed to pick out in the last week, and instead went and looked at the same things again. I have been trying to circle around the kitchen sink that I want. I know I want an apron front single basin sink, and I want it undermount for cleaning reasons, because then you don't have
right.
that lip that like everything gets stuck on, like our current sink.
And you pointed out the drain position.
Yeah. So I've kind of discovered that you can find them with the drains on the right hand side, which is ideal if you're right handed, which we both are.
Instead of in the middle, like normal sinks.
Yeah. And they have a little bit of a slope to them too. And that means in the big double basins, you can have stuff drying on one side. And when you're washing something big, you won't be blocking the drain with it. Which is, we have a single basin sink, not super large, but a single basin sink right now. It's not super small either.
It's big enough to fit a baking sheet in it.
Yeah. Not all the way flat though, but that is really a huge problem with it. So I really want a workstation sink though, but I'm still trying to like find the one I want.
What's a workstation sink?
Workstation sink is a kind of sink where it has accessories. So it has like a lip underneath the top of it, and there's specific accessories built for it. A lot of the workstation sinks are stainless steel, because stainless steel is what's used in most commercial kitchens. They will have like cutting boards and, you know, extra bus tubs that fit exactly in them. And for me, the big one is a colander. And the thing is that like I spend so much time chopping vegetables and washing them and transferring a wet colander of vegetables over to where my chopping area is. And you can chop and cut all kind of in the same place. And the reason I want an apron front, I do like the look of like the farmhouse style sinks, but it's actually because we have to have that, you know, we're going to have variable heights in our kitchen in order to accommodate me being short and Aaron not being particularly tall. But that counter where the sink is has to be standard height. And that's because
the dishwasher
are a standard height. And you don't want to put your dishwasher on the opposite part of your...
Yeah. So the dishwasher dictates the height of that counter. So the sink has to be at that height also.
So,
but
if we do apron front, then and undermount, it's going to be a little bit lower.
Yep.
And I'm not that short, but I am short enough that like I usually it's at my rib cage when I am washing dishes. And so if we get the right one where I'll have just a little bit more ability to like reach down to the bottom without being up to my, you know, shoulders in water, then I am stoked about that. Mm-hmm. But the sink decision, I still haven't decided between the stainless steel and the fire clay.
Yeah.
And the main interest in the fire clay is the look is nice, but I don't dislike stainless steel. Mm-hmm. We have a stainless steel sink right now. It is so loud.
It's very loud.
When you're washing dishes, it is almost impossible to listen to the radio.
Yeah. But there are sound treatments you can get for stainless steel sinks to make them quieter. Some of the ones we were looking at are like sticky things that you put on the bottom that just make it not resonate. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, but we don't have any actual experience with that. So like, hopefully it works.
Yeah. It also, the gauge of the stainless steel makes a difference too, which makes sense. So there's like a certain gauge you want, and I'm sure we have a lower gauge than that because we live in not a high end finishes apartment building. So we want to try it out, and we went to the fancy restoration hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
A place is so fancy.
It's
they
very
have
fancy.
A lamp for everything you've ever wanted.
Yeah.
And every lamp cost $800.
Yeah.
But I walked in. I thought it was going to have more sinks because they have them on their website.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't sell. They didn't have a single sink in that store.
Yeah. They had a couple of bathroom sinks and that was it. Nothing.
Yeah, okay.
No kitchen.
Yes. They had no kitchen sinks, which was the only sink I was really cared about.
Yeah.
Because all the sinks that they had for the bathroom too were
They weren't built into vanities. They were vanities that had a sink in them. So. Yeah.
That was a bummer. We did look at some showers, and I don't think they had a single shower lever with a regular lever on it, did they?
No, they were all a dual
They
knob.
Are double knobs. But because we had already made the trip over there and discovered that you can spend $300 on sheets and what was it? It was a $120 laundry basket.
Mm-hmm.
Just a wicker laundry basket.
Yep.
$120. Does it do the laundry for me? It wasn't even that cute.
No, it really wasn't. Oh, and then they had a $400 cat. No, fox.
Fox, yeah. To be fair, it was very cute.
It was very cute. But we were already there, and around the corner was a flooring store.
Yes. And the flooring store person was pretty... They kind of could tell that we were willing to do the stuff on our own, but they were helpful when we asked questions, mm-hmm. but it was definitely a very different experience than going with our contractor who knows the dude behind the mm-hmm. counter. And they're very hands-off, but they answered our questions. We were just going and looking around because while we found a flooring that we both like, which is an engineered hardwood, darker color flooring, our contractor was kind of like, he doesn't know the brand, or at least what he knows of the brand, he was kind of like, I have other brands I like more.
Yeah.
So he wasn't so sold that we were like, this is the one we're going to get and we're done. I think we're pretty much done with the flooring for the other two units.
I think we
like what we want.
Totally fine.
It's luxury vinyl plank,
yep.
blah, blah, blah. But we weren't as convinced as we thought maybe we were. So we looked at a couple. We found some cool engineered hardwood. We also found some luxury vinyl plank that had more texture to it.
Yeah, they had a line that was called HD Plus, and the plus meant super extra texture. So it was actually like depth to it.
Yeah, like
and
wood.
You could like
style.
Run your hands over, and you would feel like bumps.
Yeah, and most of it didn't even look bad.
Yeah,
I mean it didn't look like a robot tried to pretend it's wood, which is kind of it's definitely significantly improved in the 8 years since this flooring in our apartment mm-hmm. was made, or, you know, and also probably the grade.
Yeah. Yeah, it was impressive. There was some really good stuff.
But then one of the things that we kind of led our way down to is looking at the cork flooring.
Right.
And I had initially considered cork, and then I'd kind of talked myself out of it. because of concerns about waterproofness mainly. That was one of my big things. And the fact that cork seems to be kind of on the higher end of prices.
Yeah, yeah. And I definitely don't want the floor to look like a cork board.
Which is like, I knew there were options,
yeah.
But actually seeing some of the options in person.
Yeah, they had a really nice display there with a bunch. And some of them do look like fancy cork board, but definitely you would say that is cork.
Yep.
But they had a couple that were totally different styles, different, completely different looking textures. And it was not immediately recognizable as cork.
Part of me really wants to do cork in my office because my office, in addition to being a filming space and a podcast recording space, is directly above the bedroom of the second story unit. And I was sort of like, maybe if I do cork, that's just, you know, we're hopefully going to have sound insulation between the units because we have to have them for fire ratings anyway. But, you know, anything that we can have to reduce it.
Yeah.
And I got to say, that stuff looked great to walk on. And we don't wear shoes in the house. So
Right. It's just a little bit squishy. Just a little.
Not like a pad. Yeah. Not like carpet.
Not like carpet. And not even like you would recognize as a pad you're walking on, but it just flexes a tiny bit. Definitely more than hardwood or LVP.
Yeah, LVP. And it has the it has that kind of natural warmth to it that all the interior designers talk about, that's still this intangible weird thing. You need to adjust. There you go.
And yeah, it definitely it looks nice. There are a lot of different colors that you can get, and
yeah, they had some, and they also had cut the cork in different ways, and so it didn't all look the same. It didn't all look like that cork board that people our age had in school.
Right.
I think they don't have them in school anymore.
Oh yeah,
there was like a cork shortage for a bunch of years, and then nobody was chopping down cork, and then all of a sudden there was too much cork again, and now they're making everything out of cork again. This comedy of errors of trying to go to look for a sink was a little bit like if you give a mouse a cookie, because we tried to find a sink, couldn't find a sink. So that we went to the flooring store, found some cork flooring, decided we were going to go to the flooring store to look at cork. That place wasn't open. So then instead we decided to go to the bamboo flooring place.
Yeah.
All of this was in within a couple blocks of each other. So we just kind of were like, if we're out already.
Yeah. So we biked down around the block, basically, to the bamboo flooring place inside of a coffee shop.
Or I think it's actually technically true that the coffee shop is inside of the bamboo place, because the bamboo place has most of the square footage there.
They're both in a warehouse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have the bamboo here. So this was the problem. We kind of liked this more than anything we've seen thus far. You know, we've been very like, oh, this flooring will work.
Mm-hmm.
This we saw in person, and we saw a full-size plank of it. This is a sample.
This is a sample of the 8-foot-long plank we saw, and they also had like a full-on sheet set up there as well.
Yeah, yeah. They had it like as though done as though it's a floor. Mm-hmm. A floor.
Got weirdly into this.
We didn't think we were going over to be talked into bamboo flooring.
Yeah.
I think what happens is we were looking at it and we were like, it's so nice that we both had decided in our heads that it was going to be really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up talking with the owner, who was the salesperson, who maybe was not the most skilled salesperson in the world. However, he had a lot of very strong opinions and a lot of passion for bamboo.
Yeah.
In particular, I was really surprised at how cheap this was per square foot compared to what I felt like the quality was. Because this is not engineered, this is full bamboo all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
It's about half the price of what you would pay per square foot for hardwood all the way through, and about a quarter of the price per square foot of what you would pay for something with this level of hardness. Because bamboo is actually more hard than any hardwood, because it's not actually a hardwood, it's a plant, so it's not a wood. And because of that, it is more dense than even Brazilian hardwoods, which are very exotic hardwoods for floors that only truly, truly rich people can have. And, you know, there's a lot of ecological benefits to bamboo. Obviously, like, it grows a lot faster. It can be harvested faster. But you can always make arguments one way or the other.
Yeah.
One of them being there is currently no bamboo, commercially producing bamboo groves in the U.S. that are producing flooring. So even the guy that we were talking to locally, who is working to build a grove in Oregon and one in Louisiana on where the Tabasco plant is, because apparently the guy who founded Tabasco was really into bamboo too. This still will come from China.
Yep.
And but it was $525-ish a square foot, depending on.
I think you wrote it on the back.
Yeah.
$550 if you pay in all in advance for the order. He does have it in a couple different shades also. This is the darkest one. And I will say, I feel like the darkest one looked better there, and I'm less into how dark it is now that it's here. And it could just be because the lighting in that warehouse was terrible.
Yeah. It was a really weirdly sunny winter day.
Yeah.
And it was very dark in the warehouse, but then with huge windows. So yeah. The contrast lighting was really harsh.
It feels really nice. It is water resistant.
Yeah.
Very nearly waterproof.
Totally fine for kitchens. We weren't going to use it in the bathrooms or the entryway.
Yeah. But yeah, totally fine for kitchens. It's very smooth. I like that. And you can get it with the little click things too. So it's super easy to install, just like the engineered stuff.
Yeah. So the floating was the cheaper and the click.
That's what it was. Yeah.
There's a lot of advantages. One of the things is that doing a little research and investigation, there's a lot less regulation in the bamboo space, a lot less certification and transparency in the process. One of those reasons is because almost all the bamboo is grown in China, which is not really known for its transparency and honesty in business practices. And there's no equivalent of like Forest Council certified, FSC certified, Forest Stewardship Council, Forest Stewardship Council, FSC, like there is for hardwoods.
Mm-hmm.
I would be really eager to actually see some more cork flooring because I wasn't talked out of that either.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have that many samples there.
They only had like one brand. Too, yeah.
So definitely, I do think it's worth looking at some more of that because it was really interesting.
The thing I will also say about the particular vendor that we looked at here is that they work with a lot of places that are going for LEED certification with the bamboo. And because of that, they have low or no formaldehyde options and low VOC or no VOC adhesives and things like that. And that was something that we really struggled with around the decision making for some of the other options because, you know, as previously discussed, even if you get engineered hardwood, it's still got to be glued down and things like that. So I like it. I would, honestly, I don't want to ask for all the samples in the world, but I kind of want to see other samples in other lighting.
Yeah.
We did try to have the cat like run across that and things like that to test it out, but it's so durable.
And, like,
it's not, I'm not worried about.
I smashed a pot on it.
Yeah.
Can't even tell.
I dropped this water bottle, which is metal and constantly falls on the ground. Actually, Dora poured it, the entire thing, on the couch yesterday.
Yep. Yeah, there's no dents in it from those things, so that's cool.
That's our real use case. Like, we don't wear shoes in the house, and we won't even have to deal with it being in the entryway in the new place. We're going to have tile in the entryway, so.
That's where the bikes get dragged in, full of
and our wet shoes. That's like our dripping rain jackets and stuff.
Yeah.
So
now we're basically left with more questions and fewer decisions.
Yeah.
We're going to have to minus one from the spreadsheet. Where are you going? Do you need a new lap? Hi. You want a podcast too? Oh, okay.
So, no decision on flooring, no decision on faucet, no decision on bathtub. Anything else happened this week?
I did learn, I got a call on, I think Thursday or Friday when I was in on a trip, and it was complicated. They were like, oh, we don't know the measurements for the roof trusses. They're not written on the plans. And I was like, I don't know the measurements for the roof trusses. I thought that's what the plans were for. So they called the architect, got a hold of him, and he sent over, made a new drawing with the measurements on it and sent it over so they could order the trusses. So that's, I guess, what we're waiting on now, because I guess now that the most of the structure of the...
They had to go to the roof truss guy.
They have to go to the roof truss guy. But yeah, most of the structure of the walls is up, but the next step will be doing the roofs, and that's going to make it look more like a house.
I'm going to come back over here. I think she adds a real zest to the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, hi. You're the star of the show.
So who's late this week?
The roof trusses.
Roof trusses. Okay. Yep.
I think not having the measurements when they were ready to put the order in kind of messed up the schedule by a couple days.
Also, what wasn't the original framing crew like not available? Oh. And that ended up costing more?
I didn't even realize this, but yeah, the framing crew that's been doing this is not our contractor's first team. And they got booked out for another gig, and so they weren't available to do this. So we had to go find another team, and that other team ended up costing like $18,000 more for the project. So there goes $18,000, I guess. Oh, well.
Yeah, I guess I don't get my slab of marble now.
If only we had been able to use the original framers, we could have also bought a slab of marble. Yeah, so that's fun.
Do we have a word of the week? I think I have a word of the week.
Okay.
Magic Corner. I ended up stumbling upon this YouTube channel, Mark Tobin Kitchen Design, which I will link down below in the show notes for this. But he's a kitchen designer, and he has a real thing about corners. And
like he doesn't like them,
he
right?
does not like them, and he wants you to block them off. But because of that, he actually looked at a lot of corner solutions for and kind of evaluated them, although his big argument is you should just block off your corner and it's not wasted space. I think we're very reluctant to not use every inch of space available to us.
Wait, what do you mean block off?
Block off, meaning...
Like make inaccessible?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So have two shelves that are good at 90 degrees rather than having one weird shelf that goes in. But... one of the cool options was this thing called Magic Corner that essentially is like, rather than doing a lazy Susan, which is one of the really common kind of strategies and actually what we had in the original plan, instead you would do a corner, but it kind of pulls one part out first.
It's amazing. It's very clever use of the space, I feel like.
This was us looking at these options was actually triggered by the fact that we realized we need to have trash next to our sink and our dishwasher. Because otherwise we're going to have to walk across the entire kitchen because we don't have any pull-out trash built into our sink. And if we're going to have our colander and our chopping board over there, then we really need the place for the compost. And
so there's a 15-inch cabinet space between the sink and the corner dead zone, which you would normally use as the door for the Lazy Susan area. If we actually put a cabinet there, then that corner becomes inaccessible on one of the two sides. So the magic corner thing is a solution to that, which is super interesting.
We are in very close need of needing to go talk to the cabinet people. Some progress has been made on that front, which is essentially our contractor talked to our kitchen designer, your mom's cabinet guy.
Yep. He actually went, visited there, chatted with the cabinet guys. They're like not totally custom cabinet maker, but they have like kits or patterns, but they do build them on demand. So it's not like stock you can just buy off the shelf, but they do have their sets of cabinets that they make.
And but our other option.
The other option?
Wasn't the other option a custom cabinet guy?
Yeah. So the contractor's normal cabinet guy that he uses does do fully custom everything. And that's probably what we're going to end up with the for the weird cat litter box situation in the bathroom. Because that's going to be like the most custom cabinet ever.
Did you know that you can absolutely get cute built-in cat doors on Amazon to put into your wall that look like tiny buildings or Versailles?
Really?
Or like, there's so many. I had no idea. I found this the other day on Amazon and I was like, what? You can just buy this on Amazon? I'm not entirely sure what we're going to do for that. I'm really nervous about going to an entirely custom cabinet guy for most of the cabinets because that sounds expensive given that every wall is a cabinet.
Yep.
I do think we're probably going to end up needing that person for our stage karaoke workout stage /
pull out bed.
Yep.
I think that'll be a fun one for him.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if the cabinet guy can do the bench seats. The probably. The non-custom cabinet guy.
Oh, yeah.
But your mom designed that for that, knowing that.
Yeah, I don't know if that... I don't think that would be part of the cabinet. It might just be...
Aren't they all cabinets, though? Isn't everything really a cabinet in the end? It's cabinets all the way down.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess the last segment is what we didn't know we needed to know. I didn't know that thermostatic valves existed, and now I'm questioning all of my valve intentions. But might have been roof trusses.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that the plans were missing some measurements on them.
We keep thinking about how soon we need to pick the color of the roof.
That is very soon. That is now very soon.
Have you ever in your life thought, oh, I really love this color roof? I'm about to just Google best color roof for solar passivity Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, all the roofs around here are like the black tar. So maybe that's the best.
Yep. As I've been biking around, I've been looking at doors. Mm-hmm. And everybody's got the door with the little windows in them.
The half window?
Yeah. Even in the apartment buildings. Yeah. So even a lot of the newer apartment buildings. Yep. So I think either everybody's an idiot and it's very unsafe, but we'll be idiots together.
Yeah.
All right. The cat's gone back into the box.
She's got a little home over there.
I think we've wrapped it for the week. So
yeah, stay tuned for next week. I'm sure there'll be more drama unfolding.
And if you have any questions or if you have any thoughts about thermostatic valves or bamboo flooring, just let us know.
Mm-hmm. See you all next week.
Bye.